2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the DFS and Donut Shop. My name is Mitch, but you can call me Donuts. I provide content for Numberfire, Fantasy Draft, Draft Sharks, and the DFS Army. You can find me on Twitter at DFS and Donuts. But before we get started, please head on over to DFSArmy.com and check out the site. Use promo Donuts for 10% off. Listen, if you follow me on Twitter or any of the sites I provide content for, you know that my articles are extremely detailed and filled with nerdy numbers and trends. Well, this podcast will be a bit of a general overview of the main slate, and I release it on Tuesday mornings on iTunes, Google Play, and inside the DFS Army within the actual Donut Shop article. My objective is to identify a few key games and break down possible avenues to victory and point out targets that I might have my eye on earlier in the week. After the podcast, you'll want to head over to DFSArmy.com and read the article that goes along with this podcast. The analysis does not stop here. In the article, I'll also break down what I have found as standout value based on the pricing differentials and a few trends. I'll probably try to cook up a strategy or two for the listeners as well. Let's get to work and discuss some football. Week one is in the books. Some good things happened and some bad stuff went down. How's that for groundbreaking analysis? I'm just messing. The beauty of DFS is we don't have to labor on what just happened the prior week. We only have to be mindful of it going forward. But that said, on to week two. There are two games that I think carry great significance for DFS in week two. I'll likely have to dig a little bit deeper into some snap share numbers and when some of these guys got their snaps and their targets. There are other solid games to target, games like the Steelers and Chiefs, but I think there are a couple of standout options and strategies available at the solid pricing and even discount pricing in the following two games. The first game is the Colts and the Skins. The Colts are traveling to Washington, and the Vegas Lions opened this game at 47.5 point total, and the Skins were 5-point favorites. However, after a few hours of the lines being open, the total dropped 2.5 points, and the Skins gained another half point in their favor. That's likely due to the Skins' defense looking superb in all facets of the game. They played great against the run, played great against the D, made Sam Bradford look terrible. Well, week two against the visiting Colts, I think we'll have a few strong options on the Skins side of the ball. Adrian Peterson, old man AP, this guy just drinks from the straight from the fountain of youth. He'll likely be quite chalky. I think he'll make for a solid cash game option. He's just $6,700 on FanDuel and just $5,500 on DraftKings. The guy had 28 touches in his first game after just working out by himself all summer. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This guy is not human. A nice GPP pivot is Chris Thompson. He was actually on the field for just as many snaps as Peterson. I believe the snap share was like 46% for Thompson, 48% for Peterson. So he was on the field the entire, almost the same amount as AP. Well, what I really liked about him is, boy, did he look perfect for Alex Smith. And that check down option that Alex Smith always loves. You know, Smith's a guy who targets that slot, the tight end, and the pass catching running back abundantly. His entire career he has at each stop. So, you know, this offense, boy, it looked perfect for him. I got a fun stat for you guys. Adrian Peterson and Chris Thompson combined for 39 touches, 294 yards, and 2 touchdowns. While I was watching this game, living in the D.C. area, I was trying to think of a way to describe what I was watching. I came up with the phrase, smash and dash. AP looked every bit of the part of an angry bull running the football. And Chris Thompson was smooth in the open field and electric with the football. He is so quick. Jordan Reed, and Jamison Crowder could feast on the Colts defense this weekend. They're both underpriced on both sides as well. And I think if the crowd goes heavy on those two running backs, you have a great leverage play by just going to either Reed or Crowder or both and stack them up with Alex Smith. That's a superb large field GPP option. The second game I think could be very valuable for DFS players is the Cleveland Browns at the New Orleans Saints, and not for the same reasons you might think. Okay, yes, Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, and Alvin Kamara combined for 100.2 FanDuel points, and I stopped adding it up because it was close to like a billion on DraftKings. They're all priced high. They likely will continue to be the focal point of the offense. I mean, my word, Michael Thomas had 17 targets. All three of those players are going to have very high volume, and they're always going to be superb cash game options. Here's where I think we have some excellent GPP value, though. On the Browns side of the ball, I was looking at the snap shares, and Duke Johnson actually played 46% of the snaps in week one. Okay, Duke Johnson is supposed to be a pass-catching running back and a third-down option. All right, well, in this game, it was terrible weather, and you would have thought Carlos Hyde would just dominate the backfield, sprinkled in with some Nick Chubb, and Duke Johnson really wouldn't get that much playing time just because the team's not going out there and heaving the ball. Well, Duke Johnson played nearly as many snaps as Carlos Hyde. Now, the Browns are going to have to likely play catch-up football, at least try to keep pace with the Saints offense. If the Saints defense can't stop the Browns, you have Duke Johnson ending up with possibly the lion's share of the snaps out of the backfield, where his athleticism and soft hands are perfect for the turf and the Superdome. So Duke Johnson might be one of those guys I'm just touting nonstop across the DFS Army and in Slack to our members and discussing just how I want to use him and in what way I might want to stack up the Saints and run it back with Duke Johnson. So that's going to be a spot we're really going to have to pay attention to this week. And, you know, we might hear some rumblings in Cleveland about them trying to get Duke Johnson a few more touches in a game where he could create some ridiculous mismatches with the defense. Mitch Masses. Boy, I swear I'm humble, okay? My name is Mitch, but I am humble, I promise. There's a few things I'm looking into for week two that kind of stood out to me in week one, and they're backfield timeshares, or I guess lack thereof. In Tennessee, Deion Lewis took the lion's share of the snaps. I'm not kidding. He really did. He ended up with 71% of the snaps for the Titans. Well, Derrick Henry finished with just 29% of the snaps. The Titans, they started the game trying to get Derrick Henry going, and it just was not working. He was not hitting the holes very hard, and he looked like he was just pounding himself into the back of the lineman. You know, a few of those runs were unlucky. The D-line just burst right through the O-line, and they clearly were having trouble with some of those zone runs with Derrick Henry, and they kind of just bailed on him. They did. They just bailed on him. For the final 2.5 quarters, he only was in there for a few breather snaps for Deion Lewis, and Lewis was in there while the offense was chugging along. So I can see him continuing with that maybe 65 to 75% snap share, and if to be honest, that's the 2018 version of a running back one. So Deion Lewis, he's incredibly underpriced for the role that he looks to be taking on for the Titans. And, you know, Mariota's another guy who likes to check down to that tight end. Well, guess what? They just lost Delanie Walker, okay? I believe he broke his foot and maybe had a tore tendon. So he's out for 2018. Where are those passes going to go? Okay? Delanie Walker had a 23.7% target share in 2017. 23% of all of Mariota's passes went to Delanie Walker. They're gone. Those are gone. Who are they going to go to? Off the top of my head, I don't even remember who comes in for Delanie Walker, but there's no way they're going to sop up 24% of the passes, okay? Those are going to get trickled down throughout the rest of the offense. And you could see a guy like Deion Lewis who can create mismatches. See, I nailed it. Can create mismatches with with the linebackers and the safeties. Okay, so that's why I like Deion Lewis and GPPs this week. And until his price catches up to his role in the offense, I'm gonna target that. Listen, the Miami Dolphins and the Tennessee Titans, they had a weird game, all right? So the numbers might be a little skewed with Lewis, Derrick Henry, Kenyon Drake, Frank Gore, but there was another issue in the Dolphins' backfield that I spotted. So Kenyon Drake, he did not look like the dynamic back we expected to see him. I guess starring in week one against the Titans, but he did play in 74% of the snaps. The issue is that Frank Gore, 35-year-old Frank Gore, he looked better on just his 29% snap share. It's early in the season. I think Frank Gore, his tank is going to dry up fast. So Kenyon Drake will be a great value if he's taking 3/4 of the snaps in week 2. His price point is still depressed because he didn't play well, and the recency bias against him only helps him hold more value. For season long, Drake is still a guy I want to trade for. Okay, finished with a prorated final 5 weeks of the 2017 season, a prorated statistical line of 344 touches, 1,900 yards total combined rushing and receiving, and 7 touchdowns. This guy has a massive and elite ceiling. And if he's getting 75% of the snaps, it's only a matter of time before that elite talent starts to shine. Now, the Minnesota Vikings fooled us all. There were reports that Dalvin Cook might get eased back into regular season action with how well Latavius Murray had looked all offseason and in the preseason. He ended up playing on just 20% of the snaps against the 49ers, while Cook played a mammoth 80% of the snaps. Don't discount that. It was his first taste of action after his knee exploded in 2017. He played on 4 out of every 5 snaps. He actually was not even rotating a series, which I thought Murray would probably play 1 out of every 3 series, but he didn't. He didn't even play any full series. Murray had a role, and his role was just to give Dalvin Cook a breather and to get short yards when it was 2nd and 2, 3rd and 1, which he did very effectively on the few carries when the team called his number. I think that Cook will be an absolute steal if he continues to come out in week 2 and is getting 80% or more of the snaps against the Packers, which could end up being quite the game. So, listen, I am loving doing the DFS and Donut Shop podcast. I really hope that you're enjoying being here. You can find me on Twitter at DFS and Donuts, where I post daily articles, random stats, because I'm a massive nerd. It's true. I'm a nerd, and I can't say the word mismasters. Blah! If you enjoyed this podcast, please head over to dfsarmy.com. Use promo donuts for a smooth 10% off. Lastly, please download, retweet, like, love, subscribe to whatever platform you're listening to this on, and drop that 5-star rating for me. Have a phenomenal day, and remember, fortune favors the bold.